Yes.
To hit this out, which is really the point, I think, is what we could start with, is that people fail. I mean, people want to succeed. They want to do well, right, in all aspects of life. And some of it requires being diligent. Some of it requires preparation. A lot of it requires planning or pre-planning. You know, and also, a lot of it is about, the more you know about what it is that you don't have going on in your life, the more and the better you'll do with your life, because you'll know about more meaningful topics that are appropriate for you.
Right.
So, you know, I know that you wanted to ask, you know, me what I thought would be, you know, a good topic today. And, you know, you can go ahead and start asking me those questions if you
want. Well, you know, I wanted to start by introducing you, Sal, as not only as a financial, you know, asset protection advisor, but also as a realtor. So everybody who's there, because I had invited also some other people who are in the real estate business, so they can be included. So this is not only just for professionals, but also for families and for people who might not, you know, have any understanding of what's going on in the financial sector right now. So I wanted to start with that, because I know I have a lot of people that are going through the recession right now, and it's making you know, everything costs more, and so many people don't know what to expect from the market. They have investments, you know, on the 403b or 401k. Some other people depend on Social Security, like seniors. You know, we have single moms that, you know, so we wanna like let them know that this is not only for a specific sector, but we're trying to help everyone. So I wanted to start with, how can people maximize, you know, right now in this recession, what they already have?
Well, that's a good question, Blank, and it's so true today, everything that you said. I will go ahead and add one thing to what you mentioned, and that is Social Security, and that the people that are retired receive Social Security. But what many people fail to remember is that it's not just retirees that collect Social Security, it's disabled children, disabled adults,
yes,
that receive Social Security too. So there's a very large segment of the population that are sort of exempt from a lot of the discussions when it revolves around retirement, because to them, every day is retirement, right?
Right, exactly.
Individuals, right? So it's important to know that you cannot leave them out. Social Security is a very big part of it. We could do another discussion, entire discussion on Social Security, how it works, how not to leave hundreds of thousands of dollars with the government, especially today. What you talked about was with the rising inflation. Now, don't forget, I'll talk a little of who I am here. I've been around 33 years in the financial sector in helping families grow assets, secure assets, pass them, reduce taxes, and be able to keep more money in their family for over 33 years. So I've heard all of this before, and I've been helping train families in this direction for a very long time. Real estate for me is about 12 to 15 years. So I bring a lot of that experience to the table as well. But getting back to why this is so important today, I think for the first time since I've been in this business, the financial, you know, advisory consultancy business, this is the worst I've ever seen it, really. And we always say that, though. I remember back in 1989 when we had some of the, we had the Black Monday that took place. I think it was 87 or 89. My memory is starting to go. And I remember in 2000 during the tech bust
the
that
bubble.
We had, I was there, and I had clients that were involved in mutual funds and 401k plans. And I swore never to be sitting in that area again, watching them, their values plummet by 30, 40, or 50%. And then it happened again, of course, in 2008 with the mortgage scandal and all of that that took place. I was around for that as well. In 2010, just so you know, a little bit of the history, I made a decision to exit anything that had to do with Wall Street. Okay? So anything that has to do with Wall Street or investments, mutual funds, stocks, bonds, and really helping people move into those places. I started helping people move out of them. And so my business has blossomed tremendously because I no longer work in that risk management or risk field. Everything that I do now is security-driven, guarantee-driven, and peace of mind-driven. And so I sleep better at night, of course, and so do my clients. And I think if you're a financial professional or really any professional, you really should be thinking about what you need to do to help people live a better life, right?
Right.
So I'm all about improving one's lifestyle. And a lot of that begins with, you know, where do you really start? If you're new to like building wealth, where do you start? Even if you're 75 or 80, it's always a new start, right?
Right,
even
right.
If you're that age.
Right.
Because there's always going to be questions
right.
about what to do with your money.
And life
what
always
to do
changes.
With your property, mm-hmm. right? And so they are intertwined. For any real estate professionals out there, you need to understand that real estate has two words. One of them is real, like real property, where that goes way back in the language. But the other is estate. And so doesn't it make sense that if you're a real estate professional, you should know about estate?
Yes.
Because once you sell somebody something, you now have opened up an estate for them. And it's my belief that if you do that, you should really know how to get them out of that estate.
Right.
You should know how to transfer that estate with efficiency.
Right.
You should know about how to handle capital gains or how to mitigate taxes. You should know about, you know, not only whether the property they have is it legitimate for the family in elder years later in life, of course. But they're going to have to trust people like us if you're in the professional real estate business like we are.
Right.
So you need to know about money. So Blanca, I think what you wanted to do is talk more about how to keep money within the family.
Yes, like how do you do the wealth transfer without, you know, paying too much taxes? You know, we're not talking about not paying taxes at all, but just pay what is necessary and keep, right?
Well, I'll go further than that and say I'm old enough to talk about how to not pay taxes at all. And there's a fabulous book that you can pick up from Amazon written by David McKnight. It's called The Power of Zero, and I suggest everybody start there.
Okay, yes, I've seen it.
The Power of Zero helps move a person away from full taxation to zero taxation when it's required most. And that is at the, you know, later in life when you can't really afford to pay taxes because you're not earning the income you once earned. But does that mean that the tax bite is less? No, contrary to what we've been taught and preached upon, the tax burden is greater later in life than it was when we factor in the income.
Right.
Ratio. So you're paying much more in taxes. Inflation is the most, what they call the cruelest tax of all is inflation. That is what the meanest tax is, and that will never go away. I don't really expect prices to go down.
Right, me either. I think it's going to keep going up and up.
Yeah, and it always has, and it always will. So how do we maximize the money that we control, or at least we should be controlling, and the money that we earn, and how do we maximize that and make sure that it doesn't leak out of any holes in our financial bucket for ourselves and our family? And the way to do that is to really start understanding that there's going to be a change in the mindset of people, first of all. It all begins with the gray matter. It all begins what's going on between the ears. Okay? For all of our lives, we've been preached upon to invest money here, to invest money there. Don't forget, the word invest or investment means carrying risk. It always will.
Right.
So when people say invest your money or invest it in a place, even if it's a CD, you may say, well, a CD is safe. You know, it's guaranteed I'll get my money back from the security of the financial institution at 3% interest, but I have to hold it there for 5 years. Well, if you're holding it there for 5 years, aren't you risking anything?
Yeah, you can take it out. Right.
I would differ and say, yes, you are risking. You're risking the loss of appreciation, of opportunity cost loss. on that money for 5 years. So wouldn't it be nice to know that you had the ability to use that money over those 5 years? Because you need money, right? You need money to live.
Right.
You need money when an opportunity comes along, whether it's real estate or anything, or to buy anything. That's an opportunity. You need to have your hands on cash.
Right.
The problem is that we've been trained by the closed loop banking circle, starting from, you know, the inception of the tax code in 1913, and then finally a great book was written called The Creature of Jekyll Island.
Yeah, I read it. It's very interesting. Yeah, and I think everybody should read that book because it will help them see and understand how the banking system works and all that stuff.
Well, reading, it's great. I have two books. I give them away usually. It's very difficult to get through the reading of the book. The best thing to do is to go to G. Edward Griffin on YouTube and just search for The Creature of Jekyll Island and watch one of his seminars and web presentations. Some of them are about an hour and a half, but you'll learn everything you know about the trickery that went on. So let me go forward a little, if I can, Black, and start to lay out. One of the things we could talk today is how to secure your money, how to make sure that the money that you have doesn't leave your house, doesn't leave your family, how to make sure that you're able to recover every dollar that you spend on anything that you spend by purchase, whether that's a car, whether that's a down payment on a house, whether that's buying a house cash, buying a car cash, going on vacation. Now, people will say, you know, that's impossible. If I want to buy a car and it's $50,000, I'm going to take that $50,000 and pay cash for it. How do I ever get that money back? Well, you really don't. If you do things the traditional method that you've been trained to do,
right,
which is leave your money with someone else. In other words, leave your money with someone else's bank. Like, take $50,000 that you have and deposit it in someone's bank. Bank of Florida, Bank of California, right?
Right.
Once you do that, you now have set yourself up for lack of liquidity, for having that money never return to your home and into your pockets again. And the reason for that is because it's set up that way. It's actually set up, give me a second, I have something up in front of me here. The reason why is so that we were trained to give up our money to someone else, and for someone else to use.
Right, somebody else uses it and then gets the dividends and everything else, but we don't get anything except for our money's lack, and our, you know, and it's not giving us anything, but we believe it's safe also, which might not be the case.
Well, yeah, you're right. It's not giving us anything, but sort of it is, because money, if you start to think about what money really is, what is money?
My definition on money is a fiat money. It doesn't really exist. It exists because somebody else told us it exists. But, you know, but in reality, it's just a medium of exchange, you know?
So, yeah, money doesn't exist. Well, yeah, it's not backed by anything solid. But money, the definition, you're exactly right. Money is nothing more than a means of exchange. Money for car for money. Money for house for money. Money for toothpaste for money, right?
Yes.
So that's all money really is, it's a means of exchange. Now, the problem with having money being a means of exchange is that even when you gave your money to the bank and you say the bank doesn't really give us anything for it, well, they actually do. You actually exchange money for that car that you're going to buy or that house that you're going to purchase. So really, truthfully, money is doing what it's meant to do. The problem is that it's unilateral. It's one-sided. It's that the bank is going to seize the opportunity and earn more money on your money without ever giving you back the money that you deserve to get back. And I think what this really comes down to is understanding that there needs to be a mind shift, okay?
Yes.
There needs to be a mind shift that takes place. It's a paradigm shift. And one of the things that people can begin to do is, you know, how do you break this chain, this bondage from banks?
Right. That would be a nice question to answer, yes.
Well, the first thing to do is go on YouTube, okay, and search on YouTube for a video called The Backward Bicycle. It's silly, but really, it's about a fella who did a test to see if he could drive this re-engineered bike that works in the opposite direction. So when you turn the handlebars to the left, you don't go to the left, you go to the right. And he challenges everybody to see if they could actually drive this bicycle. And the answer is they cannot do it. They fall down.
Right.
Now, it's something simple. The machine, the bicycle, is not broken. It works, right? It's
Right.
really just that we are backwards for the first time. So it takes a little bit of getting used to over a period of time. So it's a habit that has to be accomplished. And I'm going somewhere with this right now. Where I'm leading to is that's the essence. If we continue doing the same things we've done, we'll always be getting what it is we've already had. And if you want to stay in that position, that's fine, but that's your call. You know, I would say the problem in America is, and this is a quote from somebody, isn't as much that, you know, isn't really so much what people don't know, okay? Because people do know a lot of things, okay? It's
Yes.
what people think they know that just isn't so. Just think about that. So the problem lies up here, okay?
Yes.
And they don't really understand how money flows. Money flows in, money flows out. Money is really always on the move. And if money is not on the move,
Right.
then nobody can really accomplish anything. It takes money to make things happen, right? So that was the first thing I wanted to really talk about, is the money flow.
Yes.
And there needs to be a method behind getting all of the money back. So the subject of how you get your money back requires a method. It requires understanding step one, step two, step three. Now,
Right.
before I go any further, Blanca, what I want to do is just give you an opportunity to see if this is the direction you want to continue speaking about or take it in a different
You
way.
know, I think that's the direction we want to go because I also know that there are some vehicles that provide that mechanism for people to know how they want to invest their money and where to invest it, where it will work for them instead of working for somebody else. That it will provide the necessary means, you know, to help their children, their parents, you know, their loved ones and everybody else. So do you want to speak about like how what type of other vehicles in the financial sector they can use?
Yeah, so really what we're talking about is we kept, you know, I kept saying there's a way in which you could spend money and get it all back. In fact, you could spend money on buying a car and not only get your money back, but you could actually make a profit when you buy a car. So just think about that. If that was possible, that you could spend money on anything, a vacation, and make a profit and keep that money from leaving your family, would that be something that would interest you? And the answer is yes.
Yes.
How do you do it? Like, what, first of all, why should I believe that that's even possible to be done? Well, don't take my word for it, really. What you got to think about is, has it ever been done? And the answer is yes, it's
Yes.
already done. It's been done for over 200 years, right? This isn't anything that needs to be proven. This
Right.
is already in place and has been in place for 200 years. The wealthiest people, the Rothschilds, right? The
Yes.
Rockefellers,
Yes.
the current president,
Yeah.
Walt Disney. That's how he started funding for the development for Disneyland, is through a vehicle which I'm going to share in just a moment.
Yes.
One of the only ways to do this. What about McDonald's? Same thing there. You know, McDonald's didn't come about because it had money. It knew how to keep money in a place and leverage that money to go further. Everybody heard about the Pampered Chef, for example. That money was sold to Warren Buffett for billions.
Right.
Well, she borrowed and leveraged money from her own bank to go out and start for a company.
That's right, and that's the question. How do you become your own band to be able to do those things?
Right, so to do so requires about 4 steps, but it really requires changing one thing in your life, adding one thing to your financial life. It's not asking anybody to add any more money. It's not asking anyone to take on additional risk. It's not asking anybody to lose control of their money. Okay, all it is telling them to add one thing first, and that is where your money goes first. Where your money goes first. That's the end of it. That's the beginning, and that's the end. Because if you don't do that and pay yourself first, you have no choice but to keep your money in someone else's hands and possession, and then let them dictate to you what their terms are. So you could put something in your money in a bank. I don't care what bank you say. The greatest bank of California, you know, XYZ, and they promise to pay you, you know, 4% interest. Well, you may say, well, that's fantastic. You found a fantastic bank that's paying 4%. But really, we know you're not getting 4%. But let's just say you were getting
4%.
Right.
Well, yeah.
You're doing well, right? You're doing well, you're getting 4%. But the problem is, the minute you need to take money to buy anything, as an investment, or to buy a house, or to buy a car, or because you need to renovate, or because you need to do anything in life, you need to now extract that money, that $50,000, and now you have to start all over again because it's not in there, is it?
No, it's not anymore there.
It's not in there no more. So now, what if there was a way, well, to get this mystery solved, what if there was a way to make sure that that $50,000 never leaves your account? It never leaves your account. It continues to earn 4%. Is that possible?
I think it is, yes.
Is it possible to earn 4% on your money, spend money through the form of, and this is the way it's done, it's done by collateralizing a piece of paper and have that money never leave that 4% account and continue the triple compound. So just imagine, money sits there, triple compound, right?
Yes.
At an interest rate. By the way, the interest rate that it could triple compound on, let's just say it's 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes. So
it could be 4, could be 5, could be 6 with dividends. But even if it's 4% or 5%, can you make more money while earning 4% but paying 5% or 6% on a car loan, for example? Do you think that's possible?
No.
And most people will say no, because you're earning 4 but you're spending 6% interest, so you're losing 2%, right?
Right.
And most people, economists, mathematicians, would say that's true. But the fact is, what they're forgetting is that actually you will make more money if you're earning 4% and paying 6, if and only if the money that's earning 4% never leaves earning 4%. And it continues to compound interest every year versus paying 6% on a car loan, let's say, that is simple interest and is actually based on a depreciating scale. So now if you continue to take the additional years that are compounding each year, there's going to be a spread that's going to be in your favor, even though you're spending 6 and paying 4, you will make more money. And there's a video that people can watch that will actually explain how that works. But the thing to realize is that when people do this, it's not a get-rich-quick thing. It needs to be put into a machine.
Right.
A machine is nothing more than a place where money moves in and money moves out. Money moves in from your income. Money moves in from your savings, checking, 401k, wherever it may be, that's doing nothing or losing money,
right,
or money that needs to be taxable later in life, to a place where it's now going to sit, earn guaranteed interest plus dividends. Now, can the dividends be paid forever? We don't know, but they've never missed paying these machines, never
right.
missed paying a dividend in over 90 years. over 100 actually, through all wars, depressions, recessions, you know, everything.
Right.
So you could put your money in this machine. Now, what is the machine?
Yes, what is the machine? Everybody is asking probably.
Yeah, I don't know, but the machine is nothing more than a holding tank that allows you to put money in and take it out, and take it out immediately. And when I say immediately, if you put $20,000 in, you could take money out immediately within 30 days, that's my definition, to spend that money to live, to spend that money to do things with, while keeping that money in that account to earn guaranteed interest and dividends that will continue to snowball. Now, that is machine. Now, hold on now, because people are going to say, well, that can't be. Well, the machine is a whole life insurance policy. That's right. Now, you could run out of the room. You could shut the phone or computer off. You could go to the baby. You could go walk your dog. But when you come back and you rejoin us, you'll find out that it is not just your ordinary whole life insurance policy that you've heard about, that your broke brother-in-law might have been trying to sell you, that you've heard about for years and years, and you would say, well, gee, how could I make money doing that? How can you build wealth in this type of a machine? It's because this is not an ordinary whole life insurance policy.
Right.
It's a specially designed and engineered policy that's designed specifically for family banking. It's designed specifically to maximize your cash inside of your plan that will provide guaranteed interest, dividends, and allow you the ability to leverage money out by collateralizing the death benefit. So you're never touching your money inside of the account. Your account stays at that amount it was at. Now, this is how the wealthy people do it, and this is how you or whoever's listening, if they're interested, they can call you.
Right. Yes.
We can help them through it and get them going. Now, I have many people doing this. Just had a 78-year-old move $100,000 in. He's going to be putting $100,000 in every year.
Right.
Why would you put it in every year? Well, when you open a bank, does the founders of the bank get capitalization just the first time and they don't ask people for money to continue to be put in? Of course not.
No,
they continually ask you to put money in their bank and pay you 2%, 1%, 0%. Right? But how much are they making on that?
They're making 10, 20, 30% maybe because they are adding all the people's money together, so they have a bigger power.
Yes. So banks make, and you can look this up on baurerfinancial.com, B-A-U-R-E-R, B-A-U-E-R, financial.com, and you will find out, don't take my word for it, banks make anywhere between 400% and 1,500% annually. And I don't care what the bank is. It could be ABC down the street bank. It could be the largest bank in America. It doesn't matter. They all make that kind of money. How? Because they lend to you at 4, but they charge you 8.
Right. Or 20%.
They lend you your vacation, but they charge you 22.9%. They lend you money for your remodel, right?
Right.
Right, but they charge you 9%.
Right.
Okay. So when you add all of that up, okay, if they're charging you 4% on something and they're making 20, let's just say, between 2 or 3 or 4 different goods,
right,
that you secured, okay, the overall is that you're paying 4, you know, and you add up the spread that they're making 20. You would think, well, I'll ask you, Blanca, if it's 4 and they're making 20, how much more money are they making?
That's 16% more.
That sounds pretty close. It's close.
Well, the difference between 20 and 4, but they're making much more money than that.
Well, actually, yeah, you're right, but you're close, but it's actually 500% more money than you.
Right.
Because how many times does 4 go into 20?
Oh, 5 times 2?
It'll be 500%, but look that up on baurerfinancial.com. So why would anybody give away a dollar and they make $5 on your dollar. I think it should be the other way around, shouldn't you?
Yes.
You're the one that's earning the money, aren't you?
Right.
What does a bank do? Is a bank earning anything for you? Are they going to work for you?
No.
You're going to work for them.
That's right.
So that is how you become a millionaire. Now, it doesn't happen quick. It's not a get-rich-quick thing, but you can start immediately. So I don't know how much more time we have. We're already 35 minutes in. But very quickly,
Yes. If
you have anybody that's listening that has debt, credit card debt, mortgage debt, student loan debt, it doesn't matter, even if they don't. But if they do, this is where they start first, okay?
Yes.
They start moving money out of their banks into their bank. They pay off their debt cash with their money. Now they don't ever have to worry about, well, I can't because if I take my $20,000 to pay off my credit card, I won't have any money. Well, that's gone because now you still will have your money in your account earning a guaranteed interest and dividend.
Right.
That you can borrow again. Now, the trick to this, to being a bank, is to do what? Is to act like a bank. You need to act like a bank. We need to learn how to be a bank. Act like one. Now, with a bank, think about it. If you owned a bank and you needed to take money out of your bank, it's your bank you own.
Yes.
Would you go to the bank down the corner and apply for a loan?
No.
Or would you go to your own bank?
I will go to my own bank.
You would go to your own. Why would you go to your own bank?
Well, because I'll pay myself the interest, the dividends. You know, I want to grow my own bank. I want to lend to others. I want people to come to me.
Well, one of the reasons why, too, in addition to all of that, is you could set your own terms.
Yes.
Right? If you own the bank, you could set the terms on how much interest you're going to charge yourself. You wouldn't steal from the bank, would you?
No.
If you opened a gym, okay, and you needed to go work out, would you work out in your gym? Or do you think you'd go to the gym down the street?
No, I work on my own gym.
You would work in your own. And, right, if you owned a salon where you did people's hair and makeup, would you, the owner, be showing up at someone else's salon and say, hey, do my hair?
No.
So if you don't do that and wouldn't with others, why would you do that with your own money? Why would you do that with your bank?
Well, I think it's based because of what we're talking, you know, to recap what we're talking is because our brains had been put into a specific kind of way to think about certain things. And we already kind of, you know, because everybody does and uses the band, then everybody goes there. But we don't like to check other things, you know. Right?
So, yes, that's exactly right. One of the things we didn't talk about is if you really still don't believe what we're talking about, that banks, have controlling everything, what you need to also learn and research is that banks are the number one owners of whole life insurance. Did you know that? Well, you could read that on Bauer Financial. They own more BOLI, bank-owned life insurance, and COLI, than anyone else. They own more BOLI, bank-owned life insurance policies, whole life, than all of their land and their investment and holding accounts combined. I bet you didn't know that.
You know, I knew they have a lot of life insurance. I didn't know that they use that besides land and all that kind of stuff. So that's an interesting point. But let me just, before we go on, I want everybody who just joining or if they're listening, we're talking to Sal Sofia. He's a CMA LUTCF advisor, and his company, he's the CEO of a company called Palm Beach Prosperity Partners. So he is sharing his knowledge with us, and today we're talking about how you, as you know, our families can benefit from using your own bank and creating your own bank. So that's what we're talking about right now, right? So if you want to call, anybody wants to get a hold of Sal, you can call him at 561-459-0222. So 561-459-0222. If no, you can email me too at bfunes@blancaprofessionalservice.com, and I can get you a hold of Sal too. Okay? All right.
Great. So I want to, thank you very much. I want to just recap what we just went over. We talked about what the definition of money was, right? We all agree it's nothing more than a mean exchange. We talked about what the purpose of money is. We talked about compound interest. Compound interest is considered the eighth wonder of the world, not by me, but
right.
by Albert Einstein.
Right.
We talked about the fact that money is, always needs to be in motion. You don't deposit money in the bank and go back a minute later and say, hey, I want that bill back that I gave you. You must have put it in your vault, right? They'll say no, they don't have it. Not even 5 minutes later. You can write your name on it.
Right.
And they cannot give it back to you. So they have money in motion. It's funny, though. You would think that they take the money and store it in the vault. There is no money in the vault. They're
right.
lending it out to other people and making a spread. And that's the key. And that's what you can do by establishing your own bank. We talked a little bit about a 401k plan, the fact that IRAs and 401ks are tax traps. I do a tremendous amount of work
right.
with people that are now stuck in paying tax, you know, on either the seed or the harvest. Which would you rather pay tax on, Blanca?
Well, you know, I'm always looking for not paying taxes later on in life because, you know, right now, like, everybody knows we're at 7%. Right, but let's say in 10, 20, 40 years from now, could it be 10, 20%? So I'd rather pay 7% now than 50% later on when I'm already kind of, you know, a senior citizen. I don't have more income coming into my house, you know, so.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, better to pay tax on the seed than the harvest, right?
Right.
Better to pay tax on $5 than $500,000, right?
Yes.
Especially when you're older and you cannot work and you don't have that kind of income. So the key is, yes, you can convert this to non-taxable income by doing Roth conversions, IRA conversions,
right.
or 401k conversions if they're eligible. But the question becomes, can they afford to pay that tax? So a good advisor, consultant, someone that understands how much can be converted is very important so that you really don't strap yourself. But getting back to somebody else holding your money, when somebody else, like a bank, holds your money, is there any guarantee? Or is there any guarantee on a 401k plan? There isn't.
No.
You don't control your 401k.
Right.
And most people don't even know anything about their retirement account. If I were to ask, tell me how much you know about your retirement account, you're probably going to say, well, I get my statement and I know if I made money or lost money.
Right.
And I also know whether I'm in a, you know, low risk, moderate, or high risk category. But outside of that, people don't know crap about their
right.
They don't know anything about expenses and fees and costs that are built in. They know nothing. And that's a shame.
Right.
So this is why this clarity is very, very important. So here's a question. Do you think, or your listeners out there, do you think money is worth more today or in the future? It's worth more today. If you think you can't remember, just think back to how much $1 would buy you in candy. 40 years.
Oh, I think a whole bag of candies.
Always remember that. Taxes are worth more today. Okay? So remember that. So now, if you have money today, why would you park it in somebody else's bank or investment account where they may promise to pay you back with lower dollars tomorrow, lower value tomorrow? We just proved that. You wouldn't. Knew it, but now you know it.
Right.
So, and when you buy things, you usually hold them for 2 or 3 or 5 years, like a 401k, you're holding it for 20 years, 30 years until you're 59.
Right.
You're holding on to that money, to that, but they're holding it for you. You can't touch it. Like if you bought bread or milk in the grocery store, would you buy bread and say, listen, I'm going to put it in my cupboard and I'm not going to touch it for about 20 years? You wouldn't do that, right?
No.
You need to eat it today. You need to buy milk today. You need to eat and drink today. So why would you let somebody else hold your money when you're suffering today and you can't afford your homeowner association fee? Why would you let somebody else hold your money when you cannot afford to make ends meet? You cannot afford to take advantage of an opportunity. It doesn't make sense.
Right, it doesn't. No.
It doesn't make sense. So, you know, we talked about the banks, how much money they make, because that's all they care about. And, you know, I think what's important to know are the rules. What are the rules we talked about? Number one, pay yourself first. Okay? Pay yourself first. Number two, pay yourself back with interest. And that, what does that mean? Well, look, if you were going to pay off your credit card for 15% interest,
right,
and you were already paying 15% interest for 7 years, and you still didn't make a large dent in your credit card bill, right? But you've committed to paying yourself $400 a month for that credit card. If you had the opportunity to pay off that credit card balance because of what you've learned today and zero out that balance, but continue to pay that $400 to yourself as if you're the bank and you're the credit card company, instead of paying them and forfeiting $400 a month forever, wouldn't it make more sense to pay yourself the $400 that you were already obligated to pay?
Yes.
That you already set up for yourself? You caused that trouble. I didn't. But here's a way to fix it. So now you can pay off that debt, pay yourself back that $400. And when you do that, where do you think that money goes? It goes right back into your bank. That's right. The bank that earns compound interest and dividends. So rule number one, pay yourself first. Rule number two, pay yourself with interest. Rule number three, we just talked about it. Recycle and recapture your money. Okay? Just how I said it. You recycle it and recapture your money. And if it works for credit cards, if it works for a car, what else doing this could work for?
I think paying off your house in less than 30 years.
You could pay off your house in 5 years, in 3 years. It depends on what the mortgage is, right?
Right, right.
You usually start with the highest interest.
Yes.
Okay. Start with the highest interest. And listen, people have said, but Sal, I love the idea. I love the idea, okay? We have debt. We have student loans. We have $40,000 in debt. We have $120,000 in student loans. We have a mortgage. But right now, my husband's the only one that's working, and so we really don't have the money to do this. But they're wrong. They're wrong.
Right.
You need to be careful, and that's where an experienced money mentor, as I would call myself, would be able to work with you to help you analyze what you can and cannot do.
Right.
But more times than not, if a person works, if they earn an income, that is money that's in their bank. They're just choosing to give it away. So if a real estate agent makes a commission, or if a person is a commission field, when they get paid, they put it in their bank. We'll help them figure out how much should go in their bank. And we don't really make the call for how much that should be. In other words, when you set up this machine is going to ask you to capitalize your bank with some forecast of what you believe would be a possibility to move money in to capitalize your bank. So it could be $20,000 a year, it could be $100,000 a year, it could be $10,000 a year, it could be $2,000 a year. We won't tell you what that amount should be. You tell us. But as a rule of thumb, here's how it works. If a person is 30, you add a zero, and you start funding your bank with $300 a month. Now, of course, if you have extra money, you should put it there. Of course, when you get paid, we should know what that amount is going to be, and we set up a strategic, specially designed plan that can accommodate that money that goes in. If you're 50, it is zero. So it would be $500 a month. But those are just rules of thumb. They're different for everyone.
Okay? Right.
There's a couple of books that you should know about, and it's people that are listening should know about. One of them is by Robert Kiyosaki. I'm sure many people know, he's a best-selling author, right? What was that book?
Yes, The Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That's one of his books. And
yeah.
Yeah. And
another one. Do you know the other one?
Well, I also read the Why Do We Want You to Be a Millionaire with Donald J. Trump. I know people don't like the DJ, but when it comes down to money, we're not talking about politics. We're talking about money.
Yes, that's right. Exactly right. Exactly right. And it doesn't matter who we are. We all are eligible to have the same amount of money. Okay? We all are eligible. It's just that the wealthy know certain things that others don't.
Right.
So now we know, and all we do is mimic. All we do is mimic what they do. That's all we're doing.
Right.
So the book is Second Chance by Robert Kiyosaki. Check it out for your money, your life, and our world. And he talks about this exact principle. The second book is by Tony Robbins, Money Master the Game, 7 Steps to Financial Freedom. I don't recall if it's chapter 5 that it's in, but he talks exactly about controlling your money through the process of banking on yourself.
What was the name again for Tony Robbins?
Money Master the Game.
Okay. Wow, that's good. Well, you know what, Sal, I know that a lot of people, you know, might have more questions, and I know that your time is up, right? But, you know, we wanted to thank you for sharing that knowledge, and we want to tell the people, you know, if you need somebody to help you decide how to set up your own bank, and also how to, you know how much money are you able to put away, you know, Sal and his team can help you with all of those questions. And so you can call him at 561-459-0222. So did you want to say anything else, Sal, before we leave?
I'm glad you got us together. You're doing tremendous work. Your effort is definitely recognized. I appreciate, you know, all that you do to help spread the word of knowledge, truth above all, and to help people navigate this complex world. So we really do appreciate you, Blanca. Thank you very, very much. And I'm glad you had me on, and I'm happy to come back again anytime.
Yes, I think we're going to have to make more of these conversations so we can join, more people can learn more about it. And then the people who miss this podcast on live, like because we're recording it right now live, you can listen to it. We're going to save it, and we're going to put it on the social media once we got the okay to go. And so you will be able to listen to it, and you can go to www.blancaprofessionalservices.com, and there will be a little icon that will bring you to a podcast, Podbean podcast, and that's where it's going to be held. But if you have any other questions, give us a call and call Sal 561-459-0222. Okay, so Sal, anything to finish our conversation?
Much success to you and all. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us. And thank you, Sal, once again. And thank you, everybody, for joining this conversation today. We hope you like it. And we hope you contact us if you have questions. And then we will see you the next time when we have Sal back with another interesting topic. All right, then, Sal. Thank you so much. See you guys later.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.